If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Patricia Field.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. You overdid it a little bit.
The one and only, the one and only. I'm so honored to have you here. I mean, listen, you know, you wrote this book, Pat in the City. There's a movie out, Happy Clothes, about your life. You know, your new art fashion store on Broadway, which has been there for a few years. I see you out on your Instagram.
Broadway, yes. I'm sorry to correct you.
On Broadway.
Lower, yes. Lower East, East Broadway.
East Broadway.
Broadway. East Broadway runs perpendicular to Broadway.
East Broadway. You know, you got a lot going on. I mean, do you just love to work? You know, some would say after six decades in the fashion business since, you know, 1966 and opening your first store, it'd be time to, you know, take a night off. I see you out all the time. Do you just love to work?
I have to say, I haven't been going out as much as I used to. I feel a little guilty. Things are going on. I'm going, oh, I didn't go there. But, you know, you go where your energy goes.
You go where your energy goes. Listen, it's good to have a night in every now and then, right?
Definitely.
You
definitely.
Know,
my gallery is right across the street, my art fashion gallery, where I present designers, fashion designers that I've worked with through the years. And it's directly across the street from my home, my apartment, and my office is here. And it all worked out.
Do you feel like you're giving back now? You know, because you do display so many young and up and coming designers in your current space.
That's true. You know, I enjoy it. And it's, let's say it's a bit less hectic than when I had my shop, of course. But it's in the same vein and it allows me to do what I know how to do well.
When you look back to your iconic shop, which, you know, for me, it was on 8th Street. That's when I first became aware. You know, when you look back to that time and like starting out, like, do you have vivid memories of, you know, starting out in the business?
Well, to start out with, I have to say, I went to NYU. And NYU is right in that area. And when I first opened my shop, I opened it actually right on NYU's campus on Washington Place. And, you know, vivid memories. It's all one great big, very vivid memory. You know, the people, the young people that I surrounded myself with, then in started coming the celebrities. And, you know, it just became something that I really didn't plan, but I was happy to have it develop in my world, in my life.
Did you plan, because that, you know, back in the day, you know, that boutique, you know, you did employ a lot of the trans community, you know, there was a lot of drag queens, you know, your store really became like the destination for anyone going to the Roxy or Studio 54. It really was like for anyone other, you kind of thought of Patricia Field in fashion. Was that like intentional? Did it just happen?
I have to say it just happened. It happened basically because of the people I knew and the people that were in my life. And it happened. And of course, NYU, it was, you know, I knew that area as I had gone to university there. And it just kind of happened the way it should have happened.
The way it should have happened. Well, I mean, you know.
The logical, normal way.
The logical, normal way.
Even though when it's spoken about, it's anything but normal.
It is anything but normal in the best way possible. I mean, Can you attribute one thing, being 24 and starting out in the business and now being like, the fashion icon that you are today? Like, was there a defining moment in your career where you kind of said, wait a second, we've arrived, we've made it, this is the game changer here?
That's a great question, because the reason I like that question is because the answer is I never really took myself seriously. I just did what I enjoyed doing, and I surrounded myself with people that inspired me. And that's how it all came about. It wasn't some kind of like, oh, it's a plan, I'm gonna achieve this, that, and the other thing. I just
Right.
wanted to do what I knew I could do.
You mentioned celebrity. Like, who was the first celebrity that kind of embraced you and your style?
I don't understand the question. Invoice me.
Embraced you, like, kind of
Oh,
like,
embrace.
yeah,
I
like,
use an invoice.
no.
Oh gosh, I don't. That's a hard one to answer. My store on 8th Street, it became, and I'm saying this in retrospect and what I read about it and so on, I was never really thinking about it that way. It was my shop. But yes, it did. It became, it be, it has its, let me put it this way. These days I see it has its place in history.
It does.
People talk about it. I'm like, really? Was it so? This and that. But those were the days too. I mean, going out was fun. It was disco time. There were places like Studio 54 and so on that, of course, that was in the 80s. But I don't know. It just seemed more fun those days.
New York has changed, right?
Yeah, well, I think more even beyond New York, I believe it's become more conservative. Everything has become conservative these days. And it was a little wilder then and freer.
It was a
And
little wilder.
yeah, you aren't like thinking about this, is this, is that. You just did it. It was, a different, it was freer.
What about Madonna? Back in the day, she was Madonna. She wasn't the Madonna we know today. I know she came in the store often.
She came in the store. I wouldn't say often, but I was, of course, happy to see her come in. The store, as it progressed, it became a melting pot for a lot of really great people. One of my favorites was Patti Smith, who lived down the block at 1/5 Avenue at that time, and she came down my, sh and I see this gal in some pink, wrinkled up whatever. I'm like, oh, who's that kook? And lo and behold, it was her. And she had an olive green mink coat on her shoulder or something. And she threw it down on the chair and it fell on the floor and it didn't matter. I love Pat. I really like her. She was one of my all-time favorites.
Another legend, right?
I love her. I don't see her anymore, but she'll always have a place in my heart.
How did you go from, the store was so successful, you were running a business. How did you get into, costuming for TV, particularly Sex and the City?
Well, that's a good question. Well, a friend of mine, Candy Pratt Price, my phone rang and it was Candy. And she was at that time a very successful department store window designer. And the phone rings and it's Candy. And she says, hi, Pat, I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm working with this director doing this movie. She was doing the sets, and she asked me if she asked Candy if she knew anybody who could do the clothing for the project. And Candy thought of me, and my phone rang, and it's Candy, and she's telling me about this. And that was the beginning of my costume designing career.
Wow. Did you know SJP before Sex and the City? You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE. Ladies, close your eyes and picture a bra that you actually want to wear. Let me guess, you can't picture one unless you're one of my listeners that's already purchased your own Honeylove. That's right, Honeylove has revolutionized the bra game. Trust me, I know. I've gotten Honeylove for all the women in my life, my friends, my sister. But listen, they all love Honeylove. With Honeylove, you can say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat, and they do all that without sacrificing lift. They're made with fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. You'll even want to sleep in your Honeylove because you'll forget you're wearing your bra. Their bestseller is their crossover bra, and all my friends I got it to told me it's their new go-to. So listen, treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/velvet. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/velvet. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Yes, actually, SJP was the one that introduced me to Darren Star. And I'll always give her that credit because, you know, it turned into a wonderful relationship for both Darren and myself. And, you know, she's very professional.
She's very professional, but that show, you know, and the fashion made her literally an international superstar in the fashion world. Like, is it overreaching to say that, you know, you are responsible for her status as a fashion icon?
I know that's not fair. I mean, I played a role in it. It's fair to say that. But she's, you know, a talented person. And I think that she really played the role of Carrie very well and had a major responsibility in the popularity of that show. But it was well written. It had good actors. It was a really good experience.
Could you tell, like, you know, when you sign on to a project like that, you've done so many projects with Darren Star at this point, but like with Sex and the City, like, could you tell, like, this is something special? Like, is it in the script? Could you tell this could be something that could last forever?
No, you know what? I didn't know Darren, but because Sarah Jessica put us together, it's funny because I know I'm a little bit, well, I don't want to, how do you put it? A little, not out there, but, you know, to the left of the world. And when I met Darren, I said, I brought to him this book I have of Betty Page, who's like this cartoonish, sexy gal.
Yeah.
With Sex in the City. And I said, but please don't think this is what I want to do with it. But I just brought it because just to get you to understand who I am and, you know, where I come from. Of course, I wouldn't ever. That book was too, you know, too out of control for TV. But I suggest so. But don't be afraid. I'm not going to do this. But I just want you. It's just a way of introducing myself to you. And, you know, what catches my eye.
And how did Darren Star respond to that?
he understood it because I was really clear, because I know that that Betty Page book was pretty over the top. And I, you know, I think it went well because he hired me. And that's, you know, we still have a relationship. And I did the most recent thing I did for Darren or with Darren was in Paris, called Emily in Paris. But I did it for 2 years and I was getting a little homesick. And I said, I have to go home. I mean, nothing against Paris, but home is home.
It's no New York, right?
All right. Well, I mean, it's a good city. I had no problem with it, but I was like longing for my poodles. I was longing for my apartment, my neighborhood. And I said, I got to go.
Is Emily in Paris the reason? Because there was so much about this in the press, you know, and Just Like That came back, you know, and you weren't doing the costumes. Was it truly, is that all true? It's just because you were busy on Emily in Paris?
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't split myself down the middle. It was impossible. And I was committed to Darren for Emily in Paris. And that's why it happened.
Was there anything, because you were in the business for so long and so established at that point by the time you got Sex and the City, but did you learn anything just from that experience that you maybe hadn't known before?
From Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think life is always a learning process. And I enjoyed doing Sex and the City because I had these four different gals, and all different, because Darren, he's really good at casting. And, you know, I mean, that was my first experience with him. I've worked a lot with him since. And, you know, it was all good, really.
Did you have a favorite of the four characters to design for?
You know, it's hard to say a favorite because each actress is their own unique person. So, you know, you're attracted to them for who they are and what they have to offer in the way of intellectual quality, creative quality. You know, Sarah Jessica Parker, for example, I mean, I had worked with her before that on a movie down in Miami, but so I knew her, and she introduced me to Darren, and for the project, and I don't know, I just, how could I say, we had a relationship. So she brought me to Darren, and one thing led to another, and it all worked out well.
Was there one of the characters who was like easier to design for, like her style was just so defined, or one that was just more difficult? Not the actress, but just the character was evolving and it was more of a challenge.
Well, Sarah Jessica Parker as an actress and as a person herself and a fashion person, she got it. I mean, we really were together. We were like a duet. I never doubted her. She never doubted me. It just, you know, it went really well, our relationship.
That's good.
I was very happy with that relationship. Mm-hmm. And professionally speaking. Yeah.
What about, you know, there's so much that was like written over the years. I mean, both actresses have spoken out about it, you know, that, you know, like SJP and like Kim Cattrall didn't get along and there was tension on the set. Like as a costume designer, like, you know, are you aware of like that, or are you just so in your own?
Yeah, no, I didn't have that relationship with either one of them. My relationship jobs with them were each individual based on, you know, who they were, what their, how they, what their character was. It was a combination. And, you know, to this day, I have a very close relationship with Kim. And, you know, it was, how can I put it? It was just a great opportunity and it worked out and I'm happy for it. To this day, I have a close relationship with Darren as well. And, you know, it was good.
Well, you do. It was positive. You do have a close relationship with Kim. I mean, the internet nearly broke when it came out that she was going to reprise her role as Samantha in Just Like That. Then the internet broke again when it was revealed that you were going to do the costumes for Kim's scene in Just Like That. How did that come about? Was it your friendship in real life that you got involved in this project for that one scene?
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Are you guys happy with your wardrobe these days? It's a real question. I never was because I always had things that I either paid too much for or they were always going out of style. That is until I found Quince. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style at a fraction of the cost. You could get Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters starting at $50. Trust me, I have them in basically every single color. You can get leather jackets, all for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. The way it works, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings directly on to you. Their stuff is so stylish. Seriously, I have the Mongolian cashmere crew neck and basically every color they offer. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/velvetrope for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/velvetrope to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/velvetrope.
You know, I see Kim socially. She lives in Manhattan, whatever. So we get to see each other socially. We enjoy hanging out together. It's a relationship that developed, you know, over the years of Sex and the City. And it's, you know, it's good. I always like to tell a story of going into her dressing room and she always had on the TV and she had the always these old comedians on the TV screen.
Mae West.
Pardon me?
Mae West.
Yeah, like Mae West and so on. And I understood that, you know, she was inspired by them. And I was impressed by that because, you know, I'm kind of a historian, let's say. And so, and I had aunties that were a generation older than me and used to take me around to all the, you know, theaters and so on. And, you know, it was fun to see Kim, you know, checking out these classic comedians from these bygone days.
Mae West is a good one, right? To look up to and kind of pattern yourself after.
Yeah. I mean, and I can see it, can't you?
Yes. I could 100% see it.
There. Yeah.
How did you come up with, you know, that tutu in the opening scene of Sex and the City? That is so iconically associated with the show. Like, where did that come from?
Well, okay, that's a great question. You know, I knew Sarah Jessica and I knew one another. She was, of course, the one who recommended me to Darren. And as I knew her, I knew that she was, you know, she was trained in ballet and so on. And I knew her. And so when I saw that little tulle skirt, I said, I'm going to pull this. Sarah Jessica's going to like it. And anyway, if she doesn't, it doesn't matter, because it was like, I don't know, $5 or something crazy. And yeah, she did like it. And Darren at the time, he didn't totally understand it, but he went along with it. And I respect him for that. Because he even says he didn't, you know, get it. But that's not what he's great at. He's great at what he does. I'm good at what I do. We each do what we do. So when I saw that tulle skirt, I was like, I'm going to take this chair, Jessica. It was $5. It didn't matter anyway. It was like in a bin on the floor.
So $5, bin on the floor, and here we are.
Yeah, and I said to Darren, you know, this little tutu, I called it, will never be dated. So hopefully the show is a huge success. And this, and P.S., and he put it on the side of the bus in the opening credit. And true. Imagine if it was from that time, it would be dated. It's classic. He's smart, Darren. I really love working with him.
He really is smart.
Yeah, very smart, very creative. Oh, he talks about it in the documentary, yeah. I did a documentary recently.
Speaking of the documentary, Happy Clothes, what is it like having a documentary about you? I mean, is that surreal when it's finally out and you go to watch it? And right, like SJP was involved, Kim Cattrall, Darren Star.
Well, what is it like to produce? It's a year's worth of time in different places and so on. And opened up with me swimming in a pool. Yep. I was like, oh my God. But I enjoyed working with the people that I work with on the documentary. Michael Seldich, who is, I saw something on CNN about him. And I said, I like his energy. Let's get in touch with him.
It was a great, great movie. Everyone needs to watch it.
Yeah. It's been, you know, my life has just gone, I guess, like me, on its own, independent, wild a little bit. I'm open to experiences.
You are open to experiences. I mean, is there a part of this business and fashion that you haven't done? You've done so much. Like, is there something you still feel you want to try that you haven't done?
Well, I'm not going to say what exactly, but I have something coming up with a very prestigious fashion company. So I'm looking forward to it. I think because sometimes, I mean, yes, people do respect my work, but I'm a little on the funky side. But this prestige, when I was contacted by this, you know, prestigious company, I was like, wow, they even know who I am. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. That's for sure.
Wow. And it sounds like it's something that is maybe a little not as funky as your style. And it's kind of like maybe the opposite almost.
Exactly. But I am, in the beginning, I thought I was going to be styling. But then I realized I'm going to be modeling. So,
wow.
Like, oh, okay. That's easy. Just they'll give me the clothes, I'll put them on and hello.
Wow. I can't wait to check it out. Speaking of Darren Star, what was it like working on Younger, another brilliant, brilliant show?
Younger. Yeah, it was. I like working with Darren. We have a really, our relationship grew with our through our work. And, you know, we see each other socially. We like, you know, we enjoy each other's company. We respect each other professionally. It's just a great relationship.
Yeah, Younger you did with Jackie and
Jackie Ohanian. Yeah.
And Sutton Foster.
Hillary Duff.
Yeah, Hillary Duff.
Right.
That was fun because you used a lot of the stuff from your store and you put for the Brooklyn sort of vibe. You know, you were able to put a lot of the designers and like your friends and stuff because we still had the Bowery at that point.
Right.
And I think it would be, you know, to dress a character who is truly like in her 40s, pretending to be in her 20s. That could be an interesting challenge.
Yes. But I think she delivered.
Absolutely. It was a great show.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, from Sex and the City or younger, like a favorite look or a favorite look or two where you just look back and you're like, that one just sticks out as one of my favorites?
Well, I do have to say the tulle skirt and the opening of Sex and the City, because, and I respect Darren, because when I said to Darren, if this show's a hit, this skirt will not label it what year it came from.
Yeah.
A little classic. And it's perfect for Sarah Jessica because, you know, Sarah Jessica is trained in ballet. So I knew that she would, you know, bring it alive. And so that's what it was.
Do you even realize how many people it takes to put this podcast out every day? Editors, ad salespeople, marketing, PR. I couldn't do it alone, although I like to pretend to. I found everyone that I work with now on Indeed. They're the matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. And there's a reason why. Before Indeed, my hiring process was an absolute mess. It took me forever and nobody was qualified. Indeed helps you hire faster, but it also delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. I don't spend hours searching and searching. That's what I love best about Indeed. Indeed matches me with qualified candidates. So listen, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/velvet. Just go to Indeed.com/velvet right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Do you have the opposite where you look at something and you're kind of like, Patricia, what were you thinking? I might have done this look over if I had a chance from any of your shows that you worked on.
You mean coming from the actor?
No, just like, you know, you're something you chose where you're like, maybe this look landed.
Oh, yes, definitely. When I was doing Sex and the City, I guess it was, you know, later on, I put on Sarah Jessica, she had a skirt and a short top, and I put a belt right on her skin. And then I was like, I'm going to regret this. And I did. But, you know, in time, I noticed that people liked it. And I was happily surprised because I thought when I did, I was, you know, I was being a little obvious. And, but anyway, I think it worked out. I'm happy that it did. What's worse than a bad review?
Well, it is a trend that kind of started the tutu trend. I mean, a lot of people do attribute like leggings to you and like the virgin bracelets back in the day. Like, does that ever get old? I mean, you really are responsible for a lot of trends in fashion. That must be nice.
It's nice. I mean, as long as the trend is equated with me, but it's not trendy and dies a quick death, you know?
Right.
And I mean, for example, which to this very day in my gallery here, I have the name necklace. It's because in my shop, I used to have a lot of ethnic girls and they wore that a lot with their name on it, a gold necklace with a scripted of their name. And when I opened my gallery here, on the Lower East Side, I wanted to put the name necklace in as part of the gallery. And believe me, it is like, what do I say, Michael? It pays the rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic. Everybody has a name and everybody can identify with something like, not everybody, but a huge amount of people. And it's our star piece in the gallery.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Who would have ever thought, right?
Yeah, which is, by the way, it's at 200 East Broadway. I want to give myself a little plug. I welcome you all to come. Please do. I believe you'll enjoy it.
You can plug away with anything you want. Feel free to plug this.
I'm a little shy that way. I don't like, but I do want to invite everybody. And, you know, I've noticed people from a lot of people from Europe and Asia come. I guess they read about it or I ask them, you know, how did you know about it? And, you know, it's all different ways. But it makes me really happy because I'm a little off the beaten path. And, you know, I know that if they're coming here, they're coming specifically to come in to my gallery. It's not like they pass it by all the time, you know.
Well, I think people do read about it from all over the world. And I think, you know, being a self-respecting New Yorker myself, like, I think there is this, New York is happy that you have this space. You know, like, I remember when your other store closed, which you were doing a lot of things at once, you know, it was like, this is an institution. We need Patricia to have a store somewhere downtown. So I think there's this feeling that it's just a part of New York iconography.
Well, I was born and bred, so I never escaped. It's all good.
Do you have a hard time saying no, like you had to say no to And Just Like That because you're working on Emily in Paris? Like, you are very in demand, you're booked and busy. Are you the type that has, I mean, I have a hard time saying no to things when it's professional. Like, do you have a hard time saying no to projects because you're so busy?
I have a hard time saying no to projects. I like to be able to accept whatever comes my way because projects, they all have their own identity. You know, Ugly Betty, for example, is one that I really enjoy doing, working with America Ferrera. And, you know, each project is a new experience in their own way. So, yes, I do. I enjoy it. The only time I'm not in love with it is when it's, I don't want to be negative, but when it's a trip to get there every day. I started out in Long Island City at Silver Cup Studios. My most recent project was in Yonkers, which was fine. But when it gets beyond that, it's like wear and tear.
When it's Paris.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, Paris is a bit of an exception because it's Paris. And I enjoyed my experience in Paris. I mean, artistically, as well as, you know, just living in Paris for a while. Because I had been to Paris on occasion, but short trips. And this time I got to know it much better. I had one young lady in particular who was an assistant of mine who I really enjoyed working with, and we would go to Clignancourt, which is the offbeat shopping place up in the northern part of Paris, and it was good. I'm glad I had that experience. I went to Paris before, but this time I was there for a good while.
It's another show where, like, the costume design is just so brilliant. What is it like working with Lily Collins?
Love her. Lily and I spoke. She was in Los Angeles, where she lives. And I'm in my in New York in my gallery. And I said, oh, I wish you could come to my gallery and we could work and meet each other and so on. She said, well, I'm on my way to Paris. I'll stop in your gallery and we'll play and have fun. I said, perfect. So the first time I met her was here in New York in my gallery.
So she was heading to Paris.
With her. She's a young woman, total pro, really wonderful.
And she too, like SJP, has broken out and had some really amazing fashion moments off screen now too.
Definitely. I mean, I think Sex and the City, I think, because I mean, I don't know, but I think that was her real big breakout. And yeah. Then she did that role really well. And it was, you know, she had the backup of her three friends. It was well written. Darren, he's really a great writer. And as I said before, I do respect him. He writes hits and he loves, his big hits are always about women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your process like? You know, because like you look at an Emily, she's so different than a Carrie or, you know, working on Younger. Like, what is your process like when you start a new project, like with someone like Darren Star? Like, do you dive into the script? Like, how do you come up with this in your mind?
Well, it's very, I mean, you have to understand there's a real person whose profession is being an actress. They're, you know, they're not a character. They're a real life person and they're playing this character. And I always respected that because, I don't know, I always, it was always my feeling that playing someone else would probably be difficult for me. And so, you know, I was inspired by working with women who could take on the role of a character that's written by someone and do a great job. It's, you know, it's somehow part of you remains you, But another part of you, you have to step outside yourself and enter the world of the writer and the creator.
Interesting. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. There were so many interesting stories in your book also, Pat in the City. Talk to me about, there was an employee when you had your store on 8th Street that I guess was rude to, I mean, your employees did speak out when they didn't necessarily approve of the way someone was dressed.
They all thought they were stars. And I guess they were.
They all thought they were stars. They had no problem telling someone what they thought of them.
Right.
Is this true? Someone, I guess, Beyonce came into your store and one of your employees was rude to her or didn't
yes,
really.
Yes, that's true. And I read about it in a magazine. I was somewhere and I was looking at this magazine and there was this story about Beyonce and her mom and, you know, her little group.
Blue Ivy.
Yeah, come to my store. And I read in a magazine that they were in the store and the person who was waiting and taking care of them was very rude. And I went crazy. Imagine to read something like that in a magazine about, you know, your baby. And anyway, I jumped in my car. They were down in New Jersey at the Performing Arts Center down South Jersey. And I went there. And I apologized to them because they used to come in and, you know, it was never. But this person I had hired, mistake, he was new and he thought he was like something. I don't know why, because he was in my store and he was like fabulous or who knows. But anyway, I jumped in my car and I went there and I was like, please forgive this. I knew nothing about it. I read it in a magazine and I just wanted to come and let you know that I know about it. My apologies. Whatever.
Wow.
So they were always great. You know, they used to come in the store early on, you know, and I was always happy to see them. The mom always came with them. They were young kids then.
Tina. So you drove all the way to New Jersey, went in, you said, I'm so sorry. What did Beyonce say to that when you're standing there from far away in New York City? I mean, it's still a good hour and a half to get all the way down there.
Yeah. Well, they were, you know, of course they said, oh, you shouldn't have done this, come all the way here. But I'm glad I did it because that was a relationship that was ongoing. And this guy was like, I guess he thought he was like fabulous. And he could throw out, you know, it was in there, the early days of the girls, Beyonce and Rihanna, Kelly Rowe.
And is this true too, that JFK came in with Daryl Hannah and I guess he was rude to some of the trans workers? I read that in a magazine too. JFK, yeah.
Because I used to like the daddy. I was a kid then. Yeah. He was saying something very not nice. I can't remember right. I think I wrote
freaks.
It in the freaks.
Yeah.
I go out.
Right.
It's, you know, I come from I'll call it a working class family. My parents, they were in the dry cleaning business and whatever. And I think it's better for your health to grow up in a more realistic way than in some elevated way that you think you're, you know, something special when you're too little to understand all that. You know, I see that in a lot of, you know, in people who are born, you know, with a gold cup.
Right.
They're spoiled.
You never learn the way the real world works, right? And then you go out into the real world and no one's going to put up with that, right?
No. I mean, my mom, she worked. She was a working woman. She had a business. I grew up that way. That's what I picked up from my mom. People pick up from where they come from. It's not their fault, but it's not pretty.
No, there's no excuse for it, right?
No.
What about someone, you know, there's so many, like we said, celebrities that you've worked with that come into your store. Do you ever get starstruck? I mean, are you the type? Like, there's so much.
That's an interesting question. Nobody's ever. You know what? I don't get starstruck, but I'm not the starstruck type. To me, if you come into my shop, you get the same treatment no matter who you are. And half the time anyway, I don't know who's who. I'm busy doing my thing. You know, many times people will say, oh, you know who that is. I'll go, no. And, you know, we're all doing what's important to us. And I think that's a healthier way to be. instead of, you know, looking around and seeing, you know.
I think so. I mean, everyone's just a human being if you talk to them one-on-one, right?
Totally. Totally. Well, sometimes they put on airs one-to-one, but, you know, everybody's their own person. They have to live with themselves.
What about when you look at someone like larger than life now, like a Taylor Swift? Would you like to get your hands on her and give her the Patricia Field makeover?
Honey, Taylor Swift does not need me. She's amazing. I can't believe. I mean, I still don't understand because, you know, I've known different big performers and so on in my life. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember any craziness like this Taylor Swift phenomenon. And I just think maybe it's the time that we're in where life is kind of like, let's say, it's not like this. It's more, and I think young people are more, they're, how can I put it? You know, they're more impressed with things than if you live them. I mean, in my lifetime, it was like, okay, let's go Studio 54, up in the bed and the powder room, sitting with Halston, chatting with, you know, it was a normal way of life. It wasn't, oh, it was what you did. And today, I think there are limitations on that freedom, unfortunately. I mean, I was lucky, aside from the fact of the time that I was in my youth, was also from my family, my mom. She was an independent business person. You know, that is unusual. She had, you know, a successful business. I used to tell her, Mom, let's buy a brownstone. And I said, and she said, oh, they're too expensive. I said, why? How much do they cost? And I said, oh, I bet you they cost about $40,000.
Like, that's a good way of putting it. No, I mean, I agree with you. I've never seen anything as big as Taylor Swift either. I don't really, it's like, you know, like growing up for me, it was probably Madonna. Like, or Michael Jackson, but I have a friend.
But even so,
this is way bigger.
Taylor Swift was like, I'm another generation, so I have to admit I'm not really into it. Or when I say into it, it's not that I dislike it. I'm not, you know, I just, I'm
what
not.
What about Elvis?
What about who?
Elvis.
Oh, yeah, that, yes, she's right. Elvis was that. He was, and it was in my time.
Maybe she's our generation's Elvis.
What?
I said maybe she's our generation's Elvis.
Oh, right, right, right. Maybe she is. That's a good analogy.
I think so too. Do you think she is, Patricia? Do you think Taylor Swift is this generation's Elvis?
You know what? I can only guess because I don't follow her. And I don't totally understand it, to be perfectly honest. Because when I see Taylor Swift, sometimes it reminds me of... there was another little white singer girl. I'm trying to remember who. I said, oh, is she like that? But I don't have to understand everything. I can only understand as much as I can grasp. So, but I mean, nothing against Taylor Swift. I don't mean it that way. It's just when I heard about like the crowd and the crazy, and I said, who's Taylor Swift? You know, like, but you know, I'm another generation.
You know who Elvis is. I get it. I don't even know if I understand it. I had to have a friend who's the exact same age as me, who's really heavy in the entertainment business. Cause I do reference things like Michael Jackson, Madonna. He was like, David, you have no idea. Like, this is way bigger than that. So I really don't necessarily understand it either. No shade. But I had to have someone explain it to me, like, this is like the biggest thing ever.
I'm so glad that you said that, because now I know there's someone else similar to me in that idea. I was like, Taylor Swift. I started hearing on the TV and the radio or whatever, Taylor Swift and blah, blah. I'm like, who's Taylor Swift? And, you know, she's
people. What about like the Kardashians? Like, I don't know if you're into reality TV. I mean, they are huge as well.
Yes, they are. And I know about them. But, you know, I know about them, to be perfectly honest, because their dad was Armenian and I am half Armenian and they are half Armenian. And so they caught my attention from the very beginning. And so that's why. But they became big. But I do you think they're okay? There's more than one of them, of course. But I mean, this Taylor Swift thing, I was like, who the hell is Taylor Swift? And I'm like, oh boy, I'm over the hill.
Listen, I know her. I just didn't understand. I mean, I know she's selling out every. I just didn't understand the magnitude of it until this friend of mine was like, you really need to focus. Like, you don't know how big this is. And then I really got the grasp. Like, she's possibly, I think Elvis Erica is a good, probably yeah. That's the best.
I think that was a very good analogy. But anyway, no shade, Taylor.
No shade, Taylor.
I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're successful. Success is very good for them. Everyone's mental health.
What was it like working with Meryl Streep on The Devil Wears Prada?
Loved her, but I loved her before. And when David Frankel, who is a director who I had worked with before, called me and told me about this movie that he was doing, would I like to do the clothes? And he said, Meryl Streep. And I said, of course, I love David, so I would have done it anyway. But Meryl Streep was like the cherry on the sundae. And because I respect her. Totally respect her as a professional. And I really enjoyed working with her. It was something special. And, you know, there was that whole thing. It went public, so I could say it. I met with her and her beauty person, and they told me what they wanted to do. And I said, fabulous. Because I always wanted to see Meryl glamorous. You know, she can play any role. And she plays a lot of these folksy roles or whatever. And it was just, it was a gift from heaven.
Do you have a favorite? Because, right, the clothes were so, I mean, do you have a favorite, like, high-end designer? Like, you know, for me, it's, like, Louis Vuitton. I'm, like, a Louis Vuitton girl. Like, do you have, like, when you go to the luxury brands, do you have a favorite?
Well, I like a few of them because that's why they're so famous. I like Balenciaga. I like,
Dior's new look.
Many.
Dior's great.
Yeah, Dior. I love Dior. There was somebody on my mind there, but it's just skipping me.
I like Sergio Hudson.
I like Vivian Westwood. She's comes out of left field in a way like me.
Yeah.
Left field.
As we kind of wind down and wrap up, how would you, I mean, so many people have defined your style, but how would you define your own style of what you like to dress in and wear on a daily basis?
That's a nice question because I do. I know I have my own style. I like, how could I put it, to look interesting. I like interesting combinations that are not typical or trendy, or they're original. They're my own expression. And this little hat, for example, it's reversible. We have it in my gallery.
I love the money signs on it.
And I like the money signs too. But
Wow. Totally reversible.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's very important. Well, maybe it's just me, but to express my art in the way I not only dress others, but the way I dress myself. You know, I like my clothes to say something. You know, I'm an enemy of trendy.
Is there one trend that you just, looking back over the years, disliked more than other trends, or one trend that just stands out to you as far as like, we never need to bring that back?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Not really. I'll say that here and there, there was something that became a trend that I maybe didn't get at the very beginning, but then I got. But I always liked, I liked clothes to be a little bit, you know, sexy, expressive. Trendy is what I do not like.
You hate athleisure.
Athleisure is another one. When I was in Paris working with Darren on I was like, okay, I was on the phone, Darren. I said, Darren, I'm going to go out now and check out all the chic French girls. I went out there. Jeans, sneakers, sweatpants. I'm like, where am I? Out Midwest somewhere? It was amazing.
And in New York. It took over like the New York brunch scene.
I know. What is but I'll tell you what. It just backs up my theory about fashion and its place in history and art. And I believe that the way people dress expresses the situation of the time, whether it's the roaring 20s when everything was positive, or the 60s when it was positive and it was like those little white space boots. It was the time, the beginning of going out of going into the space. People were optimistic. And I think people dress in a way that describes what the culture is happening at the time.
That's a good point. I would agree with that. Well, everyone needs to check out your book, Pat and the City. They need to watch this brilliant. See, I'm going to do all the plugs for you since you say you're shy. They need to check out Happy Clothes, which is such a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant documentary. And they need to come by the store at 200 East Broadway. And you're there many days.
It would be lovely if when you're in the neighborhood to stop by.
I will stop by. Are you there most days or?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I live very close
by.
Work. It's great.
We also have a website, patriciafield.com, and our Instagram is at patriciafield.
Right.
And I'll share all that when this episode comes out too.
Great.
And our book.
Yeah, he's just mentioned your book and your documentary.
Where can people get that book?
Amazon.com. But if you look on our website, all of the information is there.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'll share all that. I'll definitely stop in the store when I'm in the neighborhood. And like, I really appreciate you. I mean, this is, I find you to be a fashion icon, Patricia. So I'm just going to say that before we go. And thank you so much for giving me an hour of your time.
200 East Broadway. When you come, you got the address.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys. Pleasure to you too. Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.